This is Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show.
Hello there, Retromaniacs. Welcome back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, the Retro Asylum. This is episode 90, and I'm your host, Andy Godoy. Now, this is a pre-announcement to the main podcast, so first things first, let's tell you who our sponsors are this month. So this month we've got absolutely loads, and I really do appreciate this, guys. So first up is the legendary man himself, Dino Dini. Then we've got Uniforex, M. Rung, The Retro Hunter, Turbo Nips, Sean Higgins, Steve Nicklin, Michael Keith, Michael J. Hay, and we've got funstock.co.uk. And don't forget, if you want to buy something from Funstock, head on over to funstock.co.uk. At the checkout page, type in Asylum and you get a 10% discount. Next up, we've got Retro Towers. Now, as far as I'm aware, they're the only guys at the moment that sell the EverDrive, so they're worth checking out. And we will try and sort out a 10% discount with those guys over the next couple of weeks. And last but not least, we've got Play. Now, Play do some of the biggest and best retro gaming events ever all across the UK. They've got the one in Blackpool, and they've got the upcoming one, which is in October, I believe. And I tell you what, I've been to loads of these events now, and no one does it quite like Play. You know, it's an amazing event, and you need to check out the one in October. So anyway, the next thing I want to talk about, guys, is now in this podcast, I interviewed Ziggy Newman, a.k.a. Zonic. Now, she's a lovely girl, talked about loads of different things like retro gaming, you know, how she got into gaming, and she's a cosplay organizer and stuff like that. But unfortunately, I didn't actually record all of it because my recording equipment's a bit rubbish. So I do apologize to Ziggy. I do apologize to our listeners out there. Now, the bit that didn't actually record is the bit when Ziggy was telling us about the cosplay event that she actually does. Now, Ziggy, she has her own event and it's called CamCon. Now, CamCon is basically running on the Saturday, the 30th of August at the Junction in Cambridge. And you can check it out on Facebook, and that is CamCon. Then you can also check it out on www.thecamcon.com. So definitely check it out. I once again just like to apologize to Ziggy that unfortunately that bit there where she was telling us how she got into creating CamCon didn't actually record. Again, it's, you know, my dodgy equipment, so I do apologize about that. But despite all that, we had a great conversation. We talked about loads of different things, and I'm sure you guys will really enjoy the show. And don't forget to please follow Ziggy, check out CamCon, and yeah, we'll leave it as that. Enjoy the show, guys. Back to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, the Retro Asylum. I'm your host, Andy Godoy, and joining me today is very talented Ziggy Newman, aka Zonic.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you?
So I'll tell you what, I'm really excited about actually interviewing you for this particular show.
Oh, brilliant. Nice to be here.
Now, I think we first met back up at Blackpool at Play Expo, wasn't it?
We did, yeah. I mean, I came and watched in on the Retro Silence podcast live from Play Blackpool. It was a really good event. And yeah, took home a lovely Donkey Kong, which I got in my van, which is lovely.
Fantastic. So basically, this podcast is going to be all about you. So for those people that don't know you, you're a very talented young lady, actually. So you do singing, you sort of do gaming, you do cosplay organising. You do a bit of everything, really, don't you?
Yeah, I keep myself very busy. I mean, I consider myself an all-round geek, so, I mean, I do a lot of event management, so obviously I run cosplay masquerades at all these gaming conventions, like Play Blackpool's one of them, I do Play Expo, the big one in Manchester, Geek, and of course the big one, Eurogamer, which is one I really enjoy the best. I also run CamCon, which is my own convention in Cambridge every year in August. It's back at August this year on the 30th, so if you're around in the Cambridge area, please do come along. There's certainly a lot of gaming there as well. So yeah, I get my round, and yeah, awesome music. That's where I started it all. It all started from a gig. So yeah, keep it going.
All right. So what we'll do then, Ziggy, we'll sort of like travel back in time a little bit. So how did you first get into gaming then?
I can tell you, gaming has been part of my life ever since I was little, honestly. I've been a gamer ever since I was about 3, when I first got my hands on Sonic the Hedgehog. Mm-hmm. I owe it a lot to my big brother. I owe an awful lot of my painting passion to my big brother, who luckily he's about 6 years older than me, so he's in his 30s now. But at the time, he loved all his gaming consoles. He brought a Mega Drive and he had loads and loads of games. He had a Super Nintendo. He had a Nintendo. And we had a Master System as well, and quite a lot of Game Boys and stuff. So we had a good amount of consoles that he brought. And thanks to him, we got a whole lot of kind of retro games, which you always used to play, as well as the local Blockbusters, although it was called Ritz at the time, being just around the corner from where we live. So we went down there, rented games, and yeah, it all exploded from there.
Yeah, because I'm looking at your Skype picture here, and there's you with Sonic standing there right behind you.
Yeah, that's my lovely Sonic the Hedgehog plushie, which I got from MCM Expo. I collect plushies. I've got a Mario one, one of the Mario Star and stuff like that. So, yeah, a lot of my retro gaming passions are still there. But, yeah, I'm a massive Sonic fan. I think it was all about Sonic for me. That was the one.
So what was it about Sonic then that drew you into gaming, really? I mean, what is it about this, so special about this character?
Well, he's an awesome character. I mean, very fast game, very enjoyable, very cool zones. But for me, I think it actually was the music. I just could not stop thinking about the tunes. Absolutely loved it. Loved playing it and singing along to the songs, making up lyrics to them. How I got my voice in the first place was Sonic the Hedgehog. And other games which I sang along to. And it was just such a good game. It was so fun. There were so many different worlds. It was very addictive, very fast, very good characters. And of course, I loved it. And I got the comics, and I watched the Sonic the Hedgehog Sat AM shows on TV. So yeah, great time for Sonic. Great character development, and great time to be in Sonic. And it was just there. And it was, yeah, excellent game.
So have you actually ever finished any of the Sonic games then?
I have, yes. I finished Sonic the Hedgehog and Knuckles and Sonic 3D.
Ah, okay. Interesting. Okay. So what other games then, do you also play then, retro-wise?
What other games, apart from Sonic? Loads of other ones. I mean, I like Bubsy the Bobcat. That's another one I like. Obviously, Mario is another I'm a big fan of Mario as well. In terms of retro, I'm going to go by era of the kind of games I like. I like Flashback was one that I think is very underrated. It's a very good game. I absolutely loved it, but I think it's not talked about nearly enough. It was such a game. I really enjoyed it. I think they made a modern current gen version, but I haven't yet to play it, but it was such a lovely game. I loved that one. I liked Bart's Nightmare. I liked a lot of the sports games. Snakes Rattle and Roll. That was an awesome game.
On the 8-bit Nintendo, on the NES.
Yes, and Lemmings. Loved Lemmings.
Oh, fantastic. Now, you mentioned Flashback. Now, Flashback, we really love this game, actually, on the Retro Asylum. There's quite a few of our hosts that are just fascinated by that game, because back in the day, it just wowed us with these sort of, like, movie-style intros, the fancy graphics, and the gameplay was really addictive.
It was just a fantastic game. I mean, I loved the level design. I loved the actual gameplay itself, the format of when. And I think the storylines were great, like you said. And I liked, like, kind of, you know, James Bond kind of style storyline, a bit darker than that. And Conrad Hart with the secret agent. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was a really good game. And I played it the other day, like having got online or something like that. And I absolutely loved it. It's just the level design and just the storyline. And I think everything just worked. I just think it was nowhere near enough talked about what an epic game it is. It really is an epic game, and definitely one I would play over and over again.
All right, so let's talk about systems then. What sort of systems, you know, have you owned or do you own? So let's start talking about the ones that you have owned, in your life before.
Okay, I've owned a Master System, of course. Mega Drive, that was my number one. The Sega Drive, definitely. Obviously, the 8-bit Nintendo. Sadly, never got to own a Super Nintendo, but I think it kind of went out of fashion before we did. Then I owned a PS1 for a little bit. I only had one game. Got it secondhand at Game. Only really had it for Dance and Sage Euromix before I got my PS2 shortly afterwards. And then following that, I think this console is the Wii I've got now. I've looked into getting a PS4, but I haven't really found... I don't know. There might be a while before I got it. Obviously, handheld gaming consoles like the Game Boy Color was that one. I'm not really a massive handheld person, but more console. Yeah. But a lot of the games I actually enjoy were on the PC, so I didn't need to go out and actually get a lot of the kind of mid-gen consoles, like for Tomb Raider, because it was on the PC. Like, my Tomb Raider fandom was all about on the PC.
Yeah.
Until I got my PS2 when I got the Angel of Darkness and that kind of thing. That's when it kind of took off again. But yeah, those are kind of consoles I own. But I think the Mega Drive for me is the number one. That was my... love it.
Yeah, I mean, it's such an amazing machine. I mean, like, we recently did a podcast and it's about 2 hours and it's all talking about Sega, and one of the things that we talked, you know, about the most was the Sega Mega Drive, because it was such an amazing machine. You had your arcade conversions, you had your games like Sonic. It was a cool machine, and it's just, it's one of my favorite consoles. I've actually got two Sega Mega Drives right in front of me right now.
It's just a brilliant, I think it was just an absolutely brilliant machine, and what it could do was just phenomenal, considering in the times. It was just, I mean, even the speed of Sonic the Hedgehog was just like so, so good. I mean, you would never think just a little plastic console would do so much, and you had some 3D kind of games on there as well. It did so much, and I just think it's definitely a console that will always be loved and just never forgotten because of that capability it had.
All right, so you mentioned the Sega Mega Drive then, so why don't you tell me your five favourite Sega Mega Drive games, if you had a choice, which ones would you pick? If you're on a desert island, what are the five games you'd pick? Again, I don't know how you'd connect it, because there's no electricity on the desert island, but just say there is.
I'm trying to not be a cop-out here. okay, well, first of all, I'm going to go down the list, probably for number one. So, Flashback, of course, will be one.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely Flashback. Right. I'm going to be very careful because I think I know this is only going to be. Another one would be... probably Bubsy the Bobcat will be another one.
Okay, yeah. One of our listeners, actually one of our co-hosts likes that. I think it's Paul Monahan. He loves Bubsy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now we're going to go down the list. I've done 5-4, so...
Yeah.
Sonic the Hedgehog 3D.
You've got to have Sonic in there somewhere, haven't you?
Sonic the Hedgehog 1. and number 1, Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
So that is your favourite Sonic the Hedgehog then?
It is, yes. I absolutely love Sonic. And it's actually a big favourite for a lot of people. I was surprised that people thought that Sonic the Hedgehog 2 would be the most popular, because I wouldn't have thought it would be. But apparently, according to surveys, according to my friends who also love Sonic, that's the number 1. And, well, yeah, I agree with them. It was my number 1 too. It had the best levels, had the best music, and, yeah, I absolutely love Sonic 2.
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoy Sonic 2 as well. I mean... I finished it recently. I've been playing Sonic 3. Sonic 3 I finished as well. But Sonic and Knuckles is an interesting thing. I was playing that recently, and I was going through Sonic 2 again, but playing as Knuckles. And it really does change up the game quite a bit, because you can fly and glide, and there's loads of new things to discover with that.
It does help. I mean, a lot of thing about Sonic 2, which kind of works with Knuckles, is, of course, Knuckles is another flying character. Mm-hmm. And obviously, being that they designed an awful lot of the level based on the fact that Tails could fly, that was a kind of new thing that they introduced into the game. Kind of theme of flying and the ability to carry Sonic and kind of like that is definitely something that works with Knuckles. So I'm not surprised that they allowed Knuckles into that game, because a lot of that kind of theme of flying and theme of using that kind of technique definitely works within Sonic 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then the other thing I want to talk about then is, did you ever play Sonic on the Sega Dreamcast? Because it was Sonic's first proper 3D outing. I know he had some sort of 3DS games before that, but this was his first proper 3D game. What did you think of it visually and the music?
Sadly, I actually never got into it. I mean, Sonic Adventure, I liked the music, like the themes, stuff like that, but Sonic, when it first came out, didn't grab me. I don't know why. I think I've always been hesitant about Sonic in 3D. I mean, some of the games, like the modern ones, I kind of like in a way, but 3D Sonic for me, I just think didn't work. I mean, I'm going to get a lot of flame probably from this saying, what are you talking about? He's up Jones above the... I mean, I was doing an interview on a similar kind of theme for another gaming podcast, and he asked me the same question. I said, I just can't have Sonic on 3D. I just can't get into it in the same way that it's 2D. For me, it just, you miss too much. I mean, the speed is obviously the most important thing, and you love that. But I feel with the 3D, because the speed is almost too much, you end up missing a lot of stuff instead of actually being not too slow, but slow enough that you can actually enjoy the level design. And I think that unfortunately was the sad thing that was missing from Sonic, like 3D Sonic. I'm sure I'll get into it at some point, and there'll be a game. I mean, Sonic Generations was great, and I haven't yet to try Sonic Colors. But for me, it's 3D. I think a lot of it is just sadly just too much missed. I enjoy the levels as much because it's just going way too fast, which is something I should never say about Sonic, but it's just how I felt.
Now, I'll tell you what, Ziggy, I completely agree with you. I mean, I enjoyed it, but it can't compare to the 2D Sonic games. It's completely different. And I think the whole fact that, you know, the first couple of Sonic games were in 2D and it looks nicer. It still has aged fantastically. It looks well. It's cuter. And I think it's nice, basically. It's an overall better game, I think, than the 2D
one. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say... I mean, the thing is, there's a debate thinking, is Sonic supposed... I think he is a cute character. I mean, obviously, he's very cool. He's got attitude, you know. My favourite Sonic, obviously, is the persona by Jaleel White in Sonic SACM. That kind of Jaleel White area. I think perfect voice actor for him. You know, you think, oh, is he supposed to be like really macho and stuff like that? But I think that there is still that element of cute that people like about Sonic. He's cool. He's cute. He's like, he's obviously very strong. He's a big hero, but he's also very cute. He's also very adorable. And I think that if you're not careful, you can lose that kind of retro about him. And that's why I love Sonic Generations, because you had that kind of, you brought that back within classic Sonic, even though he didn't necessarily speak. So I think if they're not careful, I mean, I think Sega are kind of realizing that, and they're not going to go in completely the direction that kind of makes it too much like that.
Yeah.
I do think that Sonic, for me, certainly the ones who grew up with Sonic, definitely like that about him. So what I hope Sega doesn't do with all this kind of current gen Sonic is kind of make him a bit too macho, if you know what I mean. We've got Call of Duty, we've got Halo, we've got all those kind of games for that kind of persona, and that's all the kind of like characters that we like. But don't do that to Sonic, come on, you know, let us have some kind of adorability there.
Yeah, exactly. I can't imagine Sonic being taken, you know, like too serious. It's, I mean, it's a different style of game altogether.
Yeah.
And we love Sonic for what he is, basically.
Yeah. You know? But yeah, I mean, the thing is, we don't need to have that, because we've always got a whole lot of games that do that kind of masculinity for it. You've got Call of Duty, you've got Halo, you've got all that kind of like, you know, Max Payne, you've got all those heroes there doing that. So you don't need Sonic to be that as well. So I just hope that we kind of keep what we loved about him.
So why do you think Sonic then appealed to like the kids and especially the female sort of a gamers then?
Because he's just a really good character. I mean, I think Sonic, judging by a lot, I'll speak as a female gamer, I think a lot of my friends definitely say Sonic is their favourite character, probably even more than Mario. I think it's just because he did more. I think that, I mean, Mario is great. I love Mario. It's very fun. Obviously, you've got the hilarious, like, it's me, you're Mario. You know, that's all really fun. And I love the cartoon for the Super Mario Bros. Super Show. That was all good. But it's so, again, it is all about saving a princess, and it's not really doing anything new. And I think that Sonic did. I mean, Sonic, his aim is to, he's a freedom fighter. He goes and saves his friends. It's a lot about friendship and a lot about kind of like, you know, fighting for your friends, fighting for your survival of like protecting yourself. And the worlds are just good. I just think he's just a much more, I think he's a little bit more, he's got more attitude than Mario. I think that's why he appeals more to the female game, a bit more kind of edgy. But
yeah.
I don't know. I think it's just because Sonic did more in terms of like breaking the boundaries. Like certainly the speed was a big thing. And I think the level designs, I have to say, are much more detailed than Mario's are. I think that a lot more care was put into kind of like the environment where Sonic was. And I think that maybe that was the appeal. And certainly the music is definitely more, there's a lot more care. I mean, I don't want to say that obviously a lot of care went to Mario, but I do feel Sonic, the developers really did focus on details, which probably Mario didn't. So maybe that's the comparison there. Maybe that's why. I'm not sure, but I definitely say he's probably the more popular choice.
Okay, now, again, I'd like to get your opinion on this, actually.
Okay,
so, Lara Croft, then,
yes.
Why do you reckon, you know, was she popular to the female gamer? Or
yes,
just the male, do you reckon?
No, she is. I mean, this is a debate I often, like, look at thinking, is Lara Croft only about, like, kind of a male fantasy? But the answer, I mean, I've gone over this several times, the answer is no. I think she's very appealing for the female, and it's because, you know, despite the whole stigma about male fantasy, you know, she actually does have enough personality that she makes it a kind of identical female for us as well. I mean, certainly Lara Croft, I mean, I love Tomb Raider. That's a kind of game I loved as well. I actually really enjoyed Angel of Darkness. Even people didn't like it that much. I actually really enjoyed it. I don't know why people didn't like it, but maybe it's just a glitching. But I do think that, yeah, she was powerful in herself. She's intelligent. She's got a university degree. She's an accomplished archaeologist. You know, she may have, you know, the chess as well, I'll mention. But the thing is, even with that there, she's got enough going for her in that she is a good icon. She's intelligent, she's strong, she's very powerful, she's very brave, and, you know, that's a good icon. And I think that, yeah, I think Lara Croft is someone that females do like, and I've seen a lot of people cosplay her, a lot of people like her, and, you know, the people who are used to kind of like, you know, the developers use to kind of get her movements are also quite intelligent, quite, you know, well-built, athletic people who, you know, are strong. So I don't think that Lara Croft ever offended there. I do think there are obviously characters in games which are probably borderlining on that, but I don't think Lara's one of them. And I'm happy to say, no, Lara Croft is definitely one of my heroes.
No, I completely agree with you. Everything you said there, I completely agree, because, you know, Lara Croft, for me, she was always like the female equivalent of, say, Indiana Jones.
Yes.
And that made the game so exciting because, you know, she went around exploring, looking for ancient relics. She had gone to university. She knew all about this history. So she was a really intelligent, sort of interesting character, you know. Yeah. And it's just great series of games.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I always loved her. I mean, I actually really enjoyed Angelina Jolie as her. I think that was a great casting choice. I think that's why everyone liked her so much, because she wasn't just this, you know, female type just following everything. She had a story. She had intelligence. And I definitely think the way of saying that she's the female Indiana Jones is definitely right on. I think that that's exactly how we saw her, and that's why I love her, because she takes you on these awesome adventures, and makes you want to play the game more, because you want to know where she's going to find and what she's going to find. It's not all about her trying to guess impress a guy. You know, there isn't actually even a guy in there, so it's kind of like, you know, it's all about what she's doing. And I think, yeah, I mean, too bad. I'm not particularly keen on the latest ones, I have to say, sadly. I do like the classic one better. I don't think that the character necessarily is someone I'm yet to play it, but I don't think I'm enjoying it as much as the early ones. But, you know, that might change. I mean, it's all up into debate. But no, Lara Croft, definitely.
Okay, now, briefly, you mentioned there Angelina Jolie as Lara Croft then. So what do you think of the movie, actually? Because, I mean, for me, it's a little bit hit and miss. I like the idea. I think she looks brilliant as, you know, Lara Croft, but it was a story that just somehow didn't quite work.
This is a sad story. I mean, it's very sad, because I mean, I used to say that I officially declared that Tomb Raider was my favorite movie, and I know a lot of my form tutor and a lot of my friends are like, why do you like Tomb Raider? Well, it's because, I mean, there were some good moments in it. I mean, I love the scene. I mean, I like the first one better than the Cradle of Life. I didn't like that much. It was a bit too just basically like, man, like not much going on in Cradle of Life. But the first movie I actually liked, because, I mean, there was a lovely scene in Cambodia where she's talking to this monk. I mean, I love that scene. That's a really kind of cool. It shows a kind of like spirituality of her. And I just think that Angelina was just perfect. I think that what I like about Angelina Angelina as Lara Croft is that they didn't make her too butch.
Yeah,
they have that kind of like that. The way that Angelina is good at is she's very powerful. She's a very intelligent woman, but she's always feminine, kind of mysterious person. And it's the same kind of thing as Lucy Lawless and Xena. It's that kind of like, you know, there's still that femininity there.
Yeah,
and I just think that there were some great moments in it. But the storyline for me, it was just a bit too episodic. There wasn't really much going on. Although I will watch it over and over again, probably the specific moments in it, you know. And I liked Chris Berry. I thought he was hilarious in it. That was a good thing.
Oh, he's fantastic in anything he does. But now, do you think then a lot of people sort of look at it a little bit down because it's a film based on a game, whereas if it was a standalone thing, people wouldn't judge it? Because a lot of people judge, say, like, I don't know, Street Fighter 2 or Mortal Kombat. Or even Silent Hill.
It's a shame, because I think that what that does is it actually stops films having enough confidence to actually make a film based on a game, because they know that no matter what it is, no matter what the storyline is, there's always going to be that, oh, it's a film on the game. And I think that puts people off.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, that a lot of films could be made on games. But on the other hand, you have to put some of the blame on the actual, well, how did it get that way? And the reality is, well, the script was quite weak. You know, they don't really... I think sometimes even in the cutscenes of the games are actually better plotted than the actual film. They don't really give enough care and don't really see it as a film in that it has to have emotions, has to have a storyline, has to put the script from that side. They just rely at being like the characters already existing in the game. We like it too much. We just go see them for that, just them being in there as their brand, which is a shame. But I mean, Mortal Kombat, the film, I didn't mind too much. I mean, I thought it was cool. But I mean, the actors choosing, and Street Fighter, you know, not the best, but I thought the casting was all right.
Yeah.
The Super Mario Brothers movie, oh my God, no way.
Oh, you know what? I used to love that nonstop. I used to watch that about 3 or 4 times every single day. I don't know why.
Well, I suppose it's got a cult following, but to me, the thing is, I've seen a really good YouTube live action series of Mario. It's called Stupid Mario Brothers. It's these American guys. It's like kind of an indie kind of film like thing. They've done their own little skits. And I think the channel, I don't know if they changed his name, is called Richard Alvarez or something like that, but it's so funny.
That'll be worth checking out. I've never seen that. So I think what I'll do, as soon as I get off recording this podcast, I want to check it out on YouTube. Now, going back to, what's it called? We were talking about the movie. Do you reckon it's because telling a story, it's different from playing a game. So in a game, you play the game itself for over a long period, up to about 12, 13 hours, whereas in a movie like Tomb Raider, you've only got, what, an hour and a half to tell a whole story, and you miss a lot. So there's not a lot of idea for character progression there, I guess.
Well, there's not, no, but I think what they can do, I think one of the solutions to this is to not try and put the whole context of a game one film. I think they should, what they actually should do is just use the game as the story being started, and maybe use a movie as a way of telling a story that's after that, or use the movie as a way of telling a part of that story, not trying to make the whole thing into one movie. I think that's where movies kind of fall flat. They kind of make it so they have to tell the whole thing of Tomb Raider in one film, or the whole thing of Street Fighter in one film, and make that the official film. Well, no, I don't think you have to do that. I mean, Pokemon, as much as I don't like the Pokemon movies that much, they're not the best scripted. I think that one thing they have done right is that they haven't lied, and it is, you have to watch the anime, the TV series, play the games to actually understand what's going on. You have to do that. And I think that in a way that kind of works, because it kind of like, you know, I think trying to put everything into one movie doesn't work, because you're lying. You know, the fact is people already know, your main audience is going to be people who already know about the characters. So why lie about having to put it all and develop them in the movie? Because your audience will already know. So DICE is basically, let them game, look, make sure you know all about the game, research the game, play the game, look into the story, and make a movie about something about something that happens to the characters already. I mean, one series, I mean, I go on, forgive me if I go on, I do tend to talk to you.
No, not at all. I'm enjoying listening to this.
One thing I mean, I'm going back to Sonic again, as I usually do, but
that's okay.
My favourite Sonic series is Sonic Sat AM. I absolutely love that series. I mean, that was just brilliant, because I think one thing it did, it's based on the Archie comics of Sonic, and I think that it kind of didn't go out of its way to introduce Sonic and tell it. I think it kind of did its own thing. And it got a character that was already loved, already established, and put him in a context which everyone loved. I mean, not all the characters will know that, everyone knows that not all the characters appear in the games itself, but the storyline and the actual way that Sonic is produced. I mean, it's the first cartoon to actually give Sonic an emotional side.
Yeah.
It's darker than any of the other Sonic cartoons. It really puts Sonic in a way that you haven't seen him before. Like, he's got a serious love interest as Princess Sally Acorn. You can really feel that he's caring about freedom fighting. And if you haven't seen it already, do check it out, because it's just an amazing, probably my favourite cartoon of all time, portrayal of Sonic. And it's just the way that they kind of didn't lie, that they didn't need to introduce Sonic, didn't need to kind of... They said, let's take a character that everyone already knows, put him in the context, and, you know, wrote a story that actually everyone loved. And I think that's the key, really. I think people just don't need to kind of dive in and lie about the fact that they need to make, you know, something completely different and put it in one thing. They can already take a character that's there. They just need to make sure that they're writing it well, you know.
No, I completely, totally agree. Now, one of the other things I want to ask you, Ziggy, is you do a bit of singing. How did this go about, and what sort of singing is it you actually do? Because you also go by the name of Zonic.
Yeah, Z-O-N-I-C, so not S, but with the Z.
All right. How did you come up with that name? What made you do this? And tell our listeners then what sort of music it is you actually do and sing.
Well, the thing is, I keep going back to Sonic the Hedgehog. This is literally the podcast turning into all about Sonic the Hedgehog. But yes, I got my voice by singing along to Sonic the Hedgehog games and other Mega Drive games by basically taking the lyrics, taking the instrumentals of the background music and singing along and making up lyrics to them. And that's how I got my voice. I sang over and over again to these tunes. Then I sang again, obviously, again at school, grew again, went to university, did music, generally kind of musical person. And it all came from there. So my name Sonic obviously comes from, I was going to call myself just simply Sonic, but I thought, no, that would be a bit copyrighty. So I thought, okay, is there a way I can kind of keep that? And you just basically change the S to a Z. So it basically combines my name, Ziggy, and the Sonic. So I thought, okay, Sonic, Z, N-I-C. I mean, also the thing is, Sonic means sounds generally. So I could say Z, Sonic means my sound.
Yeah.
I consider myself kind of my style a bit of kind of different electronic music. I'm a very electronic kind of composer. I sing along to electronic music. Lots of styles are infused there. Obviously, chiptunes in there. I buy a lot of industrial kind of music from, like, you know, the cyber goth culture. That's kind of a lot of things I'm inspired by.
Yeah.
General electronica, synth pop, other kind of like electronic genres, a bit of kind of ambient stuff in there. So a lot of kind of electronic stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's all because gaming, electronic, it all comes from that, really. So I'm definitely a gaming inspired artist. It's all come from gaming, which is pretty awesome that I kind of like, I've got one passion and it's kind of been, got led me to do another, led me to another passion, which led me to do another thing. I mean, I got into event management actually from a gig. So, you know, yeah, all kind of intertwined, which is really fun. But yeah, and if you want to check out some of my music, then yeah, if you go on Zonic, mainly cosplay on there, but my website is www.zonicmusic.com.
Fantastic. I think what we'll do now, play one of your songs, and it's, was it Labyrinth?
Yes, it's Labyrinth, and it's inspired by, and it's, you'll know it's a rearrangement of Labyrinth Zone from Sonic 1.
Right, hopefully our listeners will enjoy this. So you've talked a little bit about sort of like events. So how did you manage to do this then, going from sort of, you mentioned that it was because of the singing you ended up doing event management.
Yes.
Now, this just fascinates me because it sounds like a lot of hard work.
Well, if you're passionate and you love what you're doing, it's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, yeah, event management is a hard job. I'm not going to deny it. It can be very stressful. But if you love the event you're running and you really want to do it, then to be honest, the stress and everything like that just completely goes.
Well, why don't you tell us then, the first event that you actually did and the sort of things that you went through, you know, just trying to get this event up and running?
Okay, well, it all started, I'll tell you how I actually got there first. I mean, it all started in 2010 when I went to MCM Expo in October. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know actually that there was much of a scene for gaming and anime and all that kind of like cosplay stuff actually in English. I thought that was only in America. So when I heard about MCM Expo, even though it'd been running for ages, I hadn't actually been yet. I didn't know what to expect. I just thought, okay, just go. You don't know. It seems okay. I went, had a very good time. And so I thought, okay, you know, that was cool. Maybe I'll start going to more of these. And then I got invited to an event called London Anime Con. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, you know, why didn't I actually ask them? I mean, obviously, you're looking, you've never really actually found a place to gig before. One thing I struggled with, I never really found a place to gig because the kind of music I did was very niche. And people, I didn't actually know what the way to do it was because over the open mic nights, they were kind of like acoustic acts. And I thought, okay, where can I actually go where someone's going to appreciate what I do? And yeah. I thought, okay, hang on a minute. These conventions exist. Why don't I just write to the organizer and say, okay, would you be interested in a gig? So I wrote to him and I got it.
Fantastic.
So yeah, that was my first gig. It was in February 2011, London Anime Con. Went there, performed, and got a massive... it really took off. Everyone really liked it. And so after that, I went to more of the events. I then got asked to join the crew as a PR manager at the same event company I was working for, London Anime Con. So I joined there, as well as doing some other gigs at other events.
Now, so that is absolutely amazing. So you are doing the dream, basically. It's all about gaming. You got to do your own event and you're sort of like running, you know, well, you're actually performing at all these events. Now, that's one of the things I want to talk to you about. Like, it must take a lot of guts to get up there on stage and perform in front of loads of people. I mean, you've got to love it, though, you know?
I absolutely adore it. I mean, everyone says that, but I got to say, I don't know why anyone wouldn't want to be up on that stage. I absolutely adore being on that stage. It is literally a highlight of my life, performing to all these people who like gaming and stuff like that. I just could not live without it. It's just the rush, the enjoyment for what I do. I couldn't imagine not doing it. It's just fantastic. And I just really, really say thank you to anyone who gives me the opportunity to do that, because that literally is like the second home base.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I think the first time I spotted you was at Geek Expo.
Yeah.
And you're doing the whole cosplay thing there. And there was a huge crowd, actually. The whole of that hall was, you know, on you, paying attention to you, and it was a great event, you know. So it's just like, I'm the sort of person as well that I love being on stage, I love talking, I love performing. So yeah, you know, I find it really amazing how you actually did all this, you know, especially running your events and even being at all these events. So it's you know, fantastic.
Yeah,
really impressed.
Thank you. I mean, I'm lucky to have a day job as well, which kind of pays for it. But no, I mean, I'm just carrying on as I can, because I mean, if I could do this full time, you know, for as long as I live, I'll be very happy. I mean, it's just nice to, I mean, one thing I've definitely valued, it's just nice to actually find myself in a way that actually my heart's guided me. You know, I mean, there were times in my life when I just thought, and when I was doing my degree and stuff, thinking, was I just completely in my head thinking, why was I into all this kind of gaming? Was I just a phase when I was a kid? Was it going to lead to anything? And like, you know, you have to change what you do, because no one's going to, like I said, with the whole niche thing, will actually appreciate what you do for who you are and just being the crowd. And if I had just given it all up, I would never be where I am now. So thank God I didn't. I mean, just thank God I followed my heart there, because I would not be anywhere. I just could not believe I actually have managed to do it. I just, it's just an absolute pleasure, and I will just continue going onwards and upwards with it.
I completely relate to that, because with me, I've always been a bit of a gamer, I've always been a bit of a geek, and I love talking about gaming and stuff like that. And for me to be sort of like part of doing live, you know, podcasts at these events, I'm really enjoying it. I love talking to people about it. I love watching people come up to me. I don't know, maybe it's the performer in me, but it's an amazing experience when you get to talk about the things you're really passionate about in front of a live audience.
Yeah, I know. It's just brilliant. I mean, cosplay, I love doing that. I mean, I think it's a great way for me to kind of be an organizer in the gaming community, because obviously, I mean, I wouldn't be part of the gaming community. I mean, it's not just about me just going to the events and just enjoying it. I actually like being an organizer, actually like being part of actually bringing the gaming community together. And the fact that I've actually managed to have the opportunity to be a cosplay coordinator for Replay, for Geek, for Eurogamer, which was an honor to work with Eurogamer. I can't
believe
I've got that opportunity. That is just the biggest. And they're great guys to work with as well. So thank you, Tom Champion. Thank you to Dave Moore. Thank you, Andy Brown. Thank you to Kimberly Stewart and Kate Neal for having such a brilliant opportunity to be part of the gaming community on this level. I've actually brought cosplay, and I've been managing cosplayers within the gaming community to come and actually, you know, perform and work for prizes, and just having that opportunity to be that person in the community is a pleasure. And yeah, any gaming companies listening, sure me to contact me if you want to be involved in any way.
Definitely, you know. But one of the things I want to talk about then, how do you think you know, cosplay works with hand in hand with gaming then, you know, because a lot of our listeners, they might not know a lot about cosplay, so why don't you try and explain it to us for any of our listeners that don't quite get it?
Well, I mean, one of the things that people have said, like, I mean, when gaming, when cosplay has been introduced at gaming conventions, they always think, oh, is this appropriate to the gaming community? And the thing is, well, it goes hand in hand, because the thing is, you know, gamers really are, I mean, some of the best costumes I've seen. I mean, I've been at comic conventions, I've been at anime conventions, I've been at, you know, Japanese culture conventions, and actually the best cosplays I have seen have come from gaming. It's just because I think that people love the characters. I think the character design of the gaming community is just so brilliant. And I think that people, you know, gaming, a lot about gaming, I wouldn't say totally escape, but I think escapism and being in that kind of world, I mean, certainly Lanners will agree with me here with the Lineage 2, with your World of Warcraft and League of Legends and stuff like that. I think the kind of escaping into another world is very paramount for gaming. And I think that that's why cosplay, of the ability to kind of bring that world to life that everyone loves being in, is very paramount. And I think that's why cosplay really works within gaming. I think it's just like, you want to create an item which you have basically gone into your head, imagination, in this lovely world where you're playing around. I'll say, let's lose an example. You say you're in Skyrim, you know, you probably got really intensely into the game and you think, I'm really into this character now. And you want to kind of bring that experience, which you're really enjoying, into your own life somehow, as a real thing. So people kind of think, I'm actually going to make the prop that's in Skyrim. I'm going to make the arrow. I'm going to make this. I'm going to actually bring that to life. And they do that very well. I think that's why cosplay, I think, really works in gaming. I mean, I certainly, if anyone wants to give it, please do, because gaming conventions, I mean, certainly even Eurogamer, I just really love cosplayers. I mean, even a good example of this is one thing that happened at Eurogamer Expo, and there's a video of him, is that Team 17, another one of my favorite games, Worms.
Oh, yeah.
Actually entered their worm. Their mascot in the masquerade, and it was
fantastic.
So good. I mean, that was just such a great thing, because everyone had pictures with him, and it was just, that was just a great example of Team 17 really getting involved and bringing a character obviously everyone loves into real life and then sharing it. I mean, obviously didn't win, because obviously we needed to, it was probably freshly made, so that didn't qualify. People needed to know that they can make it themselves, but the fact that it was there, and it's just that kind of feeling of them really trying to bring it into life, which really was paramount in the gaming community. And I know a lot of gaming companies, when they visit Eurogamer, when they visit Play Expo, do encourage cosplay. It's a way of promoting their product, because they like people bringing that kind of experience to life. So, yeah, so that's why I think cosplay really works in the community.
Now, so what are the people like then that do the cosplay then? Is it all like really sort of like friendly, or do you have any problems at any point from just other people that don't understand it at all?
Well, I mean, I'm lucky enough. I think gaming community is definitely the friendliest I've worked for. I mean, I'm not going to go into details of particular times when I have had difficulty. I mean, I'd rather keep those, obviously, you know, I don't want to name names, but obviously,
no, of course,
you know, there are issues within the community. I mean, a lot of the things that I mean, as a female organizer, which is, I mean, I wouldn't say that rare, but a lot of females do have this issue, is the issue of kind of sexism and the fact that cosplay is just about, you know, I'm trying to put this in a way that's not graphical, but I kind of get what I'm saying, just about sex appeal. And I think that that's something I really feel strongly about against. I think that that's not where photographers, where the media kind of should kind of put cosplay in, because I think that's very damaging to the community. What you should be doing is focusing on the craft. It's not about you going around basically being openly sexy, being a model. That's not what cosplay is about. And it's also not about being elitist. Elitism is something I really don't like. Really do not like it when any cosplayer, no matter how talented they are, makes out that cosplay is some intense competitive thing which is only for people who actually have been doing it for ages. I mean, a good example is, obviously, people get very upset when they think, oh, I'm never going to be as good as cosplayer. And you think, why was it that they can create something really, really good, and I'm struggling to even like put two things together with a glue gun? Well, the answer is, you look at their profile and you find that they've got a degree from, you know, agree from Goldsmiths doing product design, or a prop degree from, I don't know, from RADA. There'll be an explanation why. And I think that anyone being elitist, or anyone kind of saying that, is really, really damaging. Everyone, what's important about cosplay is you have a good time. It doesn't matter about your skills. Your skills improve no matter how long. You will get better by just keep doing it. Honestly, just go on YouTube, go and do craft, go to classes, go and find other people who knows other skills. Learn that way and just give yourself time to learn. It doesn't matter if you can't compete with everyone else when you're at that time. Your costumes will get better. Your attitude will get better. Your experience will get better. So don't worry if the first time or even the fifth time or the tenth time you don't get something completely right. You'll get there in your own time. So anyone being elitist or anything like that, just call it. It's not appropriate. So yeah, that's one thing I'd definitely say.
Yeah, and I mean, like, just taking back to going back to Geek this year, I was watching it and there was like a really sort of like cute Superman. It was like a dad, he brought in his little baby dressed up as Superman. And for me, that's what cosplay is. It's like about being involved, having a bit of fun, joining in, contributing. And it was fun, basically.
It was lovely. I mean, that was a lovely moment. I absolutely adored that. It was just something, I mean, everyone's favourite moment was that. And the little boy, the Minecraft boy as well, bless his heart.
He got a little bit upset at first. He got a little bit shy,
but he was brave, and I'm glad he did, and he got an honorable mention. So just moments like that. I mean even in the competitive, I've run a championship as well. Even the competitive ones, one of the lovely moments I had was just someone who wasn't, even though she was well known, I said, I'm not going to go into names, but she was not very confident for a reason, like basically there was a lot of pressure. And I said, look, don't worry about it. Just go for it. It doesn't matter what people think. And she did. And she brought this amazing costume. You could tell that she'd really, it was outside something she'd done before. And she just really brought it to life. And I just was so proud of her to just going and just basically doing, because I was thinking, just don't drop out, because you will waste a good opportunity here to basically do something that's different. And she did it, and she did it with flying colours, so well done to her. But yeah, cosplay is about everyone, not just the people who've been doing it before, not just the people who always win every single WCS, every single ECE. It's not all about you. I don't appreciate you kind of going around saying it's all about you. You know, it's about everyone. Everyone can get involved. Anyone, as long as you've got, you've got time, you want to get involved and do cosplay, go for it. Don't be shy. Don't even a big competition like WCS, if you want to give it a go, go for it. Don't feel that it's all about the same people, because that's wrong. It's not.
Yeah.
It's all about new people coming along and having new skills. People kind of basically sharing the skills with each other, and basically everyone just basically becoming so creative with all the kind of skills they're doing. And yeah, I just love those moments. I mean, Geek was lovely for that reason. There's so many great moments. I mean, there's some great people who've come up and just said, I've really enjoyed it up there. And yeah, I mean, that's what makes my job worthwhile. Just those moments where people just really feel that they're having a great time on stage. Not just on stage, just cosplaying just around the hall. I mean, just enjoying themselves, doing creative things with their costumes, like taking it on a new interpretation, just things like that. I mean, that's what makes my job the best time. So anyone who has that experience, well, I know I'm doing my job right.
Definitely. Now, one of the other things I want to ask you, now, you've done quite a lot, sort of like the events, singing and everything like that. Is there anything you're yet to do that you'd love to do? I mean, would you like to go to Japan? Would you like to go to the States or anything like that?
Both those things you've mentioned, yes. I want to go to E3, definitely, at some point. I want to go, Japan is definitely on my list. I'm trying so hard to get there. I just literally, the only reason I haven't got myself over to Tokyo, to Akihabara, is just because I'm waiting for the right time. I need to know, one thing I don't want to do is basically fork out a whole lot of money on a holiday if I know I could go there in a business context. Like, if I could go there as an event organizer or something like that in another way, I might have to go for that reason rather than just going as a holiday and being just a normal person. Because I feel that I feel like I want to be part of this community. I don't want to basically be a spectator all the time. I feel like, okay, I've got experience. I want to actually contribute. So, yeah, I mean, I want to go to America. I'd love to go to San Diego or one of the big comic conventions over there. I mean, New York Comic Con is one that I'd like to go, because obviously my brother lives quite near there. So that's one I definitely is on my list. Although it clashed with Play, so I don't know when that's going to happen. But, just definitely go to Japan. Definitely go to America. Travel the world. I mean, one thing I'd love to do is go around the world doing all the anime conventions, all the gaming conventions in the world, and see how they do it. That'd be awesome.
That'd be amazing, actually.
Continuing what I'm doing on a bigger level, going higher, doing more stuff on a higher level, working with lots of gaming companies, doing lots of kind of business deals and making events, and actually contributing to this amazing community which I found myself in. I've already met the creator of Sonic's a Dream Come True.
Oh, wow.
That was at Summer of Sonic. Thank you, Sven Jocelyn and Roy Jocelyn, for having me. That was a great event. Mm-hmm. I think I'll be back there again. I've met Veronica Taylor, who voiced Ash in Pokemon. That was another dream come true.
I think I saw a video on that on YouTube. Yeah. Or was it on Facebook?
Yeah, it was. That was an amazing moment. Just continuing doing that, working and getting higher, you know, working and meeting all these people, establishing mm-hmm. relationships, doing things, going further. Obviously singing is something I haven't done enough more. So I'd like to get back to music in some context or another. I don't know. I'm putting it on hold at the moment because I'm focusing on my event work. But in some test, I want to bring that back because I think that that's something that I need to have in my life as well as the events and stuff like that. But no, I mean, just continuing what I'm doing. I just can't believe where I've ended up now. And I just can hope this just doesn't end up like this isn't finished because I'm just enjoying this being. But obviously, I've still got the day job.
Yeah.
So maybe want to be able to do it full time and just be part of this community just full time and have my life dedicated to it. But, you know, let's see what happens. I mean, this is only 2014. I'm only 25. So mm-hmm. let's see what happens. I'm not even 30 yet. So for what I know, I could probably find myself in Japan probably next year. I don't know. Maybe
that would be amazing.
We'll see.
Right. So I think what we'll start doing, we'll start wrapping the show up. If you can tell us where people can find you, what events you'll be at, and give us all your links. Tell us where people can find you then, Ziggy.
Okay, well, obviously my main page is on Facebook. It's Zonic. It's Zonic Official. So search Zonic. The main event you've got to all come to is CamCon. You have to come. It is my event. It's a brilliant event in Cambridge. It's really, really something I'm very proud of. I've got a great committee. We've worked so hard. And that's on the 30th of August at the Junction in Cambridge. And the event is, the webpage for that is www.thecamcon.com. But you can find us on Facebook if you search CamCon, which is CamCon. Definitely come to that. Definitely come to CamCon. That is something that's really amazing. Well, I would say that I'm the head organizer of it. So other events I'm at this year are Eurogamer Expo, now EGX Expo. So definitely come to that. Everyone knows when that is.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know when Eurogamer Expo, now EGX Expo is, well, where have you been? Come on.
Exactly.
That's complete madness. So yes, I will be there all 4 days running the cosplay stage. So if you've got ideas for cosplay, do come along because we've definitely got some good things in store for that year. It's some very good panels. We've got the EGX Cosplay Championship on Saturday. More info about that coming soon. 4 days of cosplay content and 4 days of excellent gaming. So definitely come to that. And then, of course, it's the event we all love in Manchester at the end of the year. It's Play Expo. I'll be there.
I cannot wait for that. But, you
me
know,
either.
Love it.
I absolutely love Play. Sadly, I wasn't there last year. I think there was a problem with my work, but I will be back this year. Definitely amazing event. Love Reeves. So definitely come to that. That's one I'm definitely looking forward to. I'll be there in the cosplay section, so come and see me.
Will you be singing there at all at any point?
I don't know yet.
Interesting.
I don't know yet. I probably won't be singing at the event itself because I think that that's not quite the right context for that. But if there's an after party and they want me to gig, well, just get in contact, you know.
why not
But yeah, that's another one I'm going. My next event actually is happening in a few weeks. Actually, I'm off to SunnyCon in Sunderland.
Wow.
Not performing, not as event organizer, but just as a dealer. I'll be promoting CamCon there. And I believe Replay Events will be there as well, doing their gaming section there. So if you like, if you're in the Sunderland area, want to get a taste for what's happening at Play Expo, do come to that. That's a really good event happening at the Pullman in Sunderland at the end of this month. And then after that, there's Hyper Japan. Again, Replay Events will be there. I'll be there. Just as, I think I'll be promoting CamCon there in some context. So just as attendee. I don't know, but that's when I do go anyway to Japan. It's another good event. I'll just promote, I'll give them a plug. I'm not actually working for them at the moment anymore. I won't be back next year. I might be due. I don't know yet. But I know that Showmasters, Replay Events are working with them. So if you want to go to any of the Showmasters events, do, because the Replay Events will be there. They're great events. Great places to meet celebrities and stuff. So yeah, that'll be that. I'm hopefully going to be at LFCC. I don't know yet, but we'll see. But yeah, that's another kind of cool event if you want something to do. But yeah, all I can say is definitely come to CamCon. Come to CamCon. You'll love it.
Fantastic. Ziggy, I'd like to say thank you very much for actually coming on the podcast. I'm sure our listeners are going to love it and want everyone to check out CamCon because it sounds like an amazing event. So thank you very much for joining us, Ziggy.
Thank you very much for having me.